Okay. Morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Nun Gimel. We're in the fifth parak of Shabbos. We're talking about animals and the Isser of Shvisas Behemto. Make sure your animals don't do malachas on Shabbos. The pasuk says, Laman Yanuach Shorcha V'chamorcha, that your animals have to rest on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah sase. It's a positive commandment of the Torah to have your animals rest on Shabbos. You can't put any type of burden on your animals. And so what we do in this parak, in the short parak, is we talk about what things are considered beneficial for the animal and serves the animal's protection versus what simply is a burden and therefore cannot be placed on the animal. The Mishnah, which we started with already on Friday, the Mishnah gives us a list of protective devices for the animal: the halter, the nose ring, the bit, and the collar. And these are the types of items which can be used for an animal. We talked yesterday over the course of Shabbos and Daf Nun Beis, what about something which is excessively protective? Meaning, you don't really need that much protection for the animal, but it does serve the animal, but a little too much, meaning it's not necessary. So this is what the Gemara referred to as Shmir as Seira, additional protection. It was Machlokas Tanayim, whether or not an animal can go out with it on Shabbos. It's the opinion of Chananya that it would be okay. Shmir Yisir would be okay. And then it turned into a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav was Mekel like Chananya, Shmuel was Machmir. And the halach is that we're Machmir, like Shmuel, and that Shmir Yisera is not okay. Machmir, I thought we were Machmir like Shmuel. Right, I'm sorry, correct. Thank you. You're right, absolutely right. So we're Machmir, thank you. We're Machmir like Rav, so you can't go out on Shabbos with an extra layer of protection for the animal. Okay, then we went on in the Mishnah, we discussed other facets of the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about toveling. The Mishnah talked about kalim, right? Toveling the collar while it's on the neck of the animal. We were bothered by issues of chatzitza. So, and the Gemara resolved that as well. We have a little bit to go in terms of finishing up from yesterday. So again, we really should have gotten to the Mishnah yesterday. We did not. We're not that far away. We're at the point in the Gemara of needles. The ode. Okay, kind of in the middle of a sentence, an awkward ending yesterday. We are starting with the words va'olsha'al. Right, questions that were posed to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning I heard of some sort of distinction, but I wasn't sure what the distinction was. So yesterday we talked about, I heard a distinction between rings, one ring and another ring. So Rabbi Eliezer's response is, and it must be talking about on Shabbos, as we'll learn later on. In the sixth parak of Shabbos, there's a difference between a ring that has a chosam, a signet on it, and a ring that does not have a chosam on it. We'll learn that together in the sixth parak. Va'ot sha'al, it's like about 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It is right in the middle of the line. The line begins with the words Kamar Le Ihu. I heard there's a distinction between needles, one type of needle, another type of needle. So he says, well, maybe regarding Shabbos there's some sort of distinction. Again, we're going to go to the sixth parak of Shabbos, and we're going to learn together that there is a difference between a needle that has a hole in it and a needle that does not have a hole in it. Needles versus pins, right? Pins and needles. So there's a difference between a pin and a needle. You go out with a needle on Shabbos, you're going to be chayev. If you go out with a pin on Shabbos, so you're not going to be chayev. You're not going to be chayev a carbon chatas. Good. This is something we'll learn together in the sixth parak. De'in l'inyan tumah d'avad achasi, because had we been talking about tumah, there's no difference between a pin versus a needle. L'inyan tumah d'avad achasi, the Gemara says, is that really true? V'atanan, the Gemara says, but what about the Mishnah and Kalim? And the Mishnah and Kalim says, that if I have a needle, and either I take off either end of the needle, meaning one has the point and the other end has the eye. So if I break off either end of the needle now is tahor. Remember, the basic rule regarding kalim is that it has to be a functional kli. If it's not a functional kli, it's not mekabel tuma. So I take off either side of it, either the eye or the point, it's going to be tahor. So Kikar Malay B'Shlemus of the Gemara says, okay, I grant you, you're right. But in other words, I'm talking about fundamental distinctions between one type of needle and another type of needle. Meaning, once you take off the eye, it's not a needle anymore. Okay, so that we're not talking about that. What if it's a rusty needle? So the Mishnah In Kalim, discusses a rusty needle. If it's rusty, if it's so rusty where I can't sew with it anymore, meaning the rust prevents me from inserting the needle through the cloth, so then it is no longer a functional needle, and therefore it's not tameh. The Amid Debe Rav Yana V'hushe Rishumo Nikar. Now, even when that's so, that's it's only going to be. Even when it's rusty, still has to be able to identify as a needle. So again, the Gemara says, Kikamale b'shifa kamale. So Gemara says, fine, again, you're right, but we're talking about just basic needles, not rusted needles, basic needles. So in other words, there's a difference between one needle and another needle, and it's not that the needle's broken, and it's not that there's one needle's rusty and the other needle's not rusty. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to show you now another brisa. And the brisa says, whether the needle has an eye or whether the needle does not have an eye, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. But lo amri nekuva ela in yintum abavad. And nekuva only becomes a difference only when it is only vis-a-vis tumah. So the Gemara says, v'atir gama abaya liba derava begalme. So the, when explaining that brisa, so he says that Bryce is talking about Gami. What does that mean? You take a look at the last Rashi right before the Mishnah. Rashi says, Shehu golem shenitzitza min achut v'omedes li nakev. Hasamu dechozman shalom nakva in mekabelas tumah. In other words, it doesn't have an eye yet, but we intend on putting an eye in it. Dahalo nigmar malachta. So in other words, it's an unfinished needle. And because it's an unfinished needle, so therefore, it's not uli inyan tumah, kli maisa ksiv shegamar kol maasehu. Now, vis-a-vis the halachas of tumah, it has to be a finished product. As far as Shabbos is concerned, so Shabbos doesn't have the same exact criteria for what is a kli, what isn't a kli. So as far as Shabbos is concerned, even though it plans to be a needle, and even though we haven't finished it because we haven't placed the eye at the end of the needle, nevertheless, for Shabbos, it may be considered a functional kli. For example, Rashi says, let's say you have a splinter in your finger and you want to remove a splinter. Now, you're not sewing, you're just simply using the needle, the pointy end of the needle, to remove the splinter. So it could be that this unfinished needle for Shabbos would be considered a kli. Masha Einkin, when in the world of Tumah Tahara, as long as you're planning to make this into a needle without the eye, it's simply not a finished product yet. Okay, so in other words, so that is an explanation of why on Shabbos you're allowed to carry it. In the world of Tumah Tahara, it's not yet considered a finished needle. Okay, and that ends the discussion about differences between needles, differences between different types of rings, and now we move ahead. Okay, we're back to the animals, and again, the discussion over here is what can an animal go out with on Shabbos? Chamor yotze b'mardas. So the donkey can go out with the saddle. Now, we're not really talking about the actual saddle itself. We're talking about a saddle cloth. So in other words, it's the thing you put on the animal right before you put on the saddle. It's a saddle cloth. Rashi points out right here in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to say it later on as well. The saddle cloth is there to warm up the donkey. Donkeys are always cold. Rashi says it over here, but Rashi is really quoting the Gemara. The Gemara later on will say it as well. Donkeys are just simply constantly cold. And you want to cover up the donkey in order to save it from any type of pain. So you may do so on Shabbos. The only stipulation is that the saddle has to be tied on to the animal. We'll discuss more about that in just a moment. Bezman shekshura bo. Zecharim yotzim levovim. Rechelem yotzo shechuzos. Okay, male animals can go out levovim. All these terms that we're going to be talking about right now are going to be explained in the Gemara. So wait for an understanding. Wait till tomorrow's daf, maybe today, but probably tomorrow's daf, to discuss what all these types of coverings are for the animals. So male animals can go out, levavim, rechelos can go out, shechuzos, kivulos, kivunos, tied up, tied down, or totally covered, enveloped. Okay, again, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Ha'izim yotzim tsururos. Now the goats can go out tsururos. Now tsururos means that their udders are tied up. Now, why would you want to tie up the udders? So, if take a look at Rashi and the Mishnah over here. Rashi explains that dam tsururos pa'amim li'avesh. Now, it could be that we're going to tie up their udders for one of two reasons. Number one, says Rashi, we want to dry up their milk supply, meaning that on the farm we want the goats to get pregnant again. So while they're nursing, they're not going to get pregnant. So what you want to do is you want to stop the lactation, and that way the animal is going to be able to be receptive to becoming pregnant. So sometimes what the farmer is going to want to do is he's going to want to tie up the udders really tight in order to dry up the milk supply. Rashi, I'm reading in Rashi, Shemahatkan Kadeshalo Yachalvu, so they don't give milk. Odvis Abru, so that they get pregnant. Oh, Yeshmeinos Lechol. Upamim Lechalev Lishmor Chelban. Sometimes they'll tie up the udder just simply so they don't lose any milk. So in other words, they're not tying the udder tight, but they're giving it a loose tie so that they don't lose any milk. V'koshim lahem kisbedadim, and so they'll put some sort of pouch on top of the udder so it'll stop the milk from dropping and falling to the ground and spilling. Good. So the Mishnah says that according to the Tanakhama, you can do this with your goats. You can tie up the udders before Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Amar b'chulan chutz min arachelim. Sorry. Rabbi Yossi Oser b'chulan. Rabbi Yossi says everything that we described in the Mishnah is aser. Chutz min arachelim akvunos, except for the sheep, which are kvunos. Kvunos, again, I really didn't give much explanation, but we'll learn tomorrow. Kvunos means that they're totally wrapped up to protect the wool. Rav Yehuda Omer Izim Yotzei Tsururos Li'Avesh Avala L'Chalev. Now, Rav Yehuda takes some sort of compromise position, and Rav Yehuda says that he agrees fundamentally that you can tie up the udders, but only if it's a tight tie where the point is to stop the animal from producing milk. But if it's a loose tie, just so that you collect the milk, that he does not allow. Rashi explains the reason why Rav Yehuda strikes this compromise position is because he's worried that if you're not tying it tightly on the udder, it's going to fall off the sheep. It's landing in the Rishos HaRabim. You're going to absentmindedly pick up the item, carry it in the Rishos HaRabim, four amos in the Rishos HaRabim, and so the Chachamim made a gzera. Do not leave a loose tie around the udders of the goat. Okay. But for today, however, most of our topic of discussion is going to be the following. It says in the Mishnah that you can put a mardas, a saddle cloth, on the donkey. And the reason why is explained already, and Rashi already explained to us in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to be very clear about it, is because your donkey is normally cold, and anything which serves as not any type of pleasure for the animal, but just to prevent it from experiencing pain, would be okay on Shabbos. Now, let me just be clear. What does that mean? Would be okay. It means that it's not considered a must-do. It's not considered a burden, and your animal can go out with it on Shabbos, even into a Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara makes only one stipulation. Amar Shmuel, we're now on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. V'hu shekshura lo me'erev Shabbos. But, explains Shmuel, you had to tie up the saddle before Shabbos. In other words, remember, the issue over here is it a burden, is it not a burden? So the answer is very simple, it's not a burden. Because it provides warmth for your donkey, which normally is cold. So it's not a burden. The only issue, says Shmuel, is you got to tie it up before Shabbos. Now, he gives no explanation. Why should that be? Now, it has nothing to do with the knot. Let's assume, in other words, the Gemara does not breathe a word about the knot. Knot's not the issue. Let's assume that you're making a temporary knot. You know you're allowed to tie your shoes on Shabbos. Okay. So if you're making a temporary knot, so that would be fine. So over here, the issue is not, has nothing to do with the knot and creating a knot on Shabbos. So why does he give the stipulation that you got to tie it up before Shabbos? So let's go around. So let's first turn to Tosfos. I know it's not our first person we normally turn to, but Rashi is later on. Rashi is on Daf Nandalid. V'hu shekshur lo me'erev Shabbos. Rashi perish l'kaman. De'bikshur me'erev Shabbos. Have malbush hachamor. Ava be'enikshur me'erev Shabbos. Have masui. So he's quoting Rashi, and the way Rashi seems to present himself is that, well, if I tied up before Shabbos, it means that the donkey was cold, and therefore I'm warming it up. But if I'm tying it now for the first time on Shabbos, so probably I'm doing so just so that the donkey could carry the burden of the saddlecloth. Hard to understand this pshat, meaning it could very well be that the animal's cold even on Shabbos. So it's difficult to understand what Rashi means by that. The old Yesh Lafarish, the Be'enuk Shura, Meir of Shabbos, Mechzikim is Kavein, Lahotzas Amradas. And then Tosos makes his own suggestion, which is maybe this is an issue of, basically we'll call it Mar Sinai. What happens is that if you didn't tie it up before Shabbos, and you're now tying it on for the first time on Shabbos, it looks like your sole intent and purpose is that the animal carry the saddlecloth on Shabbos. It does not look good. Or maybe the issue is that when you're putting the saddlecloth on the donkey on Shabbos, it looks like you're taking the donkey for a long journey on Shabbos, which of course is Aser. Okay, it's some sort of rabbinic decree, either because maybe you're putting it on for the first time, it doesn't look like you're really interested in keeping the animal warm, or maybe because it's simply... It looks like you're having the animal carry for you. Whatever the case is, Gzeira d'Rabbanan, it must be tied on before Shabbos. Okay. Am Rav Nachman Masnitzna Amideka Diktani. Now, Rav Nachman says, agreed. It has to be tied on before Shabbos. In fact, let's take a look at a Mishnah. We'll see this Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow. Now, the Mishnah later on basically just simply says the inflexive of what we saw in our Mishnah. Meaning in our Mishnah it says that it has to be tied on. If it's not, it's not good. And the Mishnah later on says that if the Mardas is not tied on, then the donkey can't be wearing it on Shabbos. Hechi dami. Ilemeshe nikshura lo klau. What does that mean? It's not tied on at all? Pshita. Domanafa levasi lasuye. Well, there's no way that we would allow a saddle cloth to be put onto the donkey if it's not tied at all, because it's going to fall off. You're going to end up carrying it in Rosh Hashanah. So that's not even, I don't even need a Mishnah for that. Alav Sheinik Shurim Erev Shabbos. So it must be that it is tied, but it wasn't tied on Erev Shabbos. Mechal Dereisha Shikshur Lom Erev Shabbos. So that means that when our Mishnah says it's okay, it must mean that it was tied on Erev Shabbos. Shmami now. The Gemara says, okay. So deductively, we can actually see from the Mishnayos, it has to be tied on from before Shabbos. Tanya Mehachi. The Gemara quotes the Breisa. Chamor Yotzei Bar Madas Bizman Shikshur Lom May Erev Shabbos. Here the Breisa says it clearly, meaning we don't have to do deductive logic within the Mishnayos. The Breisa says clearly, as long as the saddlecloth is tied before Shabbos, so then the donkey can wear the saddlecloth on Shabbos. V'lo be'uka fafa pishikshura lo, may Erev Shabbos. Now, saddle itself, no, even if it's tied on Erev Shabbos. Rav Shimon Gamliel, omer afu'uka v'zman shikshura lo, may Erev Shabbos. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the animal is allowed to wear a saddle, not a saddlecloth, a saddle, as long as it was tied before Shabbos, v'vavad, shalo yikshur lo, mistrichin v'vavad, shalo yifshur lo, ritzuas tachas navo. But the saddle can only be worn by the donkey if it's clearly serving the donkey. If, let's say, the saddle is really is secured onto the donkey, meaning not just so that it doesn't slide to the left or to the right, but it doesn't slide to the front or to the back, meaning they would tie the saddle to the neck of the animal, to the tail of the animal, so it would not slide in any direction. That would not be okay on Shabbos, because clearly then that saddle is being placed on so that you could have a rider ride on the animal, which is forbidden on Shabbos. So the saddle, according to Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, is allowed to be worn by the donkey, but only if it's tied on so it doesn't slip to the left or to the right. Now, Vamine Ravasi Barnasim Rabbi Chia Barav Ashi Mali Te Mardasa Gabi Chomor B'Shabbos. Okay. Now the Gemara. Okay, I'm sorry. Before we go on, we're pretty clear, meaning that Shmuel's understanding of our Mishnah is corroborated by Brisos as well, and by a clear reading, and by a very careful reading of the Mishnayos, which is, the donkey can wear a saddlecloth on Shabbos, it has to be tied up, and it has to be tied up before Shabbos. Whether the donkey can actually wear a saddle on Shabbos, up for debate, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he can, the Chachamim say he cannot, okay. But in terms of a saddlecloth, we're all in agreement, the donkey's cold, it warms up the donkey, it's not a muscle, it's not a burden, that's... That part of the discussion is clear. Can I put a saddle cloth on the donkey on Shabbos? Now, I know that's a funny question, considering the fact that it seems like we just discussed it, and we just came to a conclusion. So you have to look at Rashi over here, because Rashi over here, without Rashi, really wouldn't understand where the Gemara is going with this discussion. And Rashi writes, Ma'uli Tamar Das, we are not discussing whether or not the animal can be taken out to Rosh Hashanah, because we know you can't. Because if it was not tied up before Shabbos, you can't go on to Rosh Hashanah. That we've already established. That's clear. I'm keeping the donkey in my courtyard. I just want to know, it's cold right now, it's Shabbos. Can I put the sailcloth on the donkey? Not that it go out, it stay within the confines of the chatzer. Amar le mutter. Now the answer is, it's fine. Amar le v'chimai ben zela ukef. Well, how is this any different than a saddle? Now, as the Gemara is going to be clear in just a moment, you're not even allowed to take the saddle off the donkey. If the donkey has a saddle on it on Shabbos, you can't even remove the saddle. Okay, you don't know that yet. It's coming up in the Mishnah. Good. So if I can't handle a saddle on a donkey, how would you allow me to put a saddle cloth on the donkey on Shabbos?
Even if the saddle's hurting the donkey?
Even if it's just staying in your chatzah. Ishtik, he said nothing. In other words, no response. That was a strong question. Eisvei, the Gemara here now quotes, Ukev shal gabe chamor lo yitzotan biyado. If you have a saddle on the donkey, you cannot handle the saddle on Shabbos. Ela molicho mevia bechatzer. What you do is you walk your donkey around in the courtyard, and eventually the saddle is going to fall off on its own, but you can't handle the saddle itself. So hashta litol amart lo lehaniach mibaye. If I can't even handle the saddle, so what would make you think that I can handle the saddle cloth on Shabbos? Okay, this is a question. It is a strong question. Amalei Rabbi Zera Shafke. Now, Rabbi Zera says, let's leave the man alone. The man is holding like his Rebbe. Because there's a ruling by Rav, which is that you're allowed to put a feed bag on an animal on Shabbos. Okay? Now, let's try to use a little bit of logical deduction. Putting a feed bag on an animal. Now, as it will be clear later on in the Gemara, this is an older animal. The animal doesn't have to eat right now. Meaning this is the kind of animal where it could wait. So putting a feed bag on the animal is not necessary for the animal. It is what the Gemara refers to as tanug ba'alma. It's a luxury. And meanwhile, if Rav is saying that you could put a feed bag around the neck of an animal on Shabbos, which at best is a luxury, putting the saddle cloth, the animal right now is cold, and putting the saddle cloth, that's not a luxury, that is saving the animal from pain. So how much more so? If you could do something as a luxury item for the animal, you could for sure put the saddle cloth on the animal. Okay, this is now the Gemara's defense, and this is the Gemara suggesting that, look, his Rebbe is Rav. Rav says you could put the feed cloth on the animal. Sorry, the feed bag on the animal, you for sure could put the saddle cloth on the animal itself. Okay. Now Shmuel says, look, I'm with you on the saddlecloth. It keeps the donkey warm. The donkey right now is cold and in pain. You can take the saddlecloth, you can put it on the donkey. But to put the feed bag on the donkey, no. Now, so we clearly have a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. And somebody, an Amora, Rabbi Chia, reports what Rav says to Shmuel. Rav allowed the feedback to go on the donkey. So Amar Le, Ihachi, Amar Abba, Lo Yada Bimili, De Shabbasa, Velo Klum. Shmuel has a very strong reaction. And Shmuel says, if that's what Abba says. Now, Abba is the way that Shmuel refers to Rav. He calls him father. Rashi over here says, Rashi elsewhere, I don't remember where, but elsewhere Rashi says that that was actually Rav's name. Rav's name was Abba. But Rashi over here on our daf says that Abba is a term of endearment and reverence. Right? Rashi quoting, not next week's Parsha, 2 weeks from now. 3 weeks from now? I think it's Miketz. Anyway, like the word Avreich is Abba Lamalcha. You know how Yosef went around and everyone called him Avreich? And Targum over there explains Avreich means Abba Lamalcha, meaning he's a father to the king. It's a term of reverence, and now he wasn't. In other words, obviously Yosef wasn't the father to the king, and nor was he above the king. In fact, he was second to the king. But it was just a term of reverence. So Shmuel, you understand the Rav over here. Shmuel, as much as he is disagreeing with Rav, but he's reverentially referring to him as Abba. But anyway, point being, Shmuel says, I don't accept. I just simply don't hear how in the world Rav could say that you're allowed to put a feed bag on the animal on Shabbos. It's only tanug, it's only for the pleasure of the animal, and simply it's not allowed, it's not permitted. By the way, I should make this point clear. Why is it not permitted? Meaning, feeding your animals, again, let's try to be clear. We're not talking about animals that need to be fed right now. It's just simply a luxury item, just putting a feed bag. Why would it not be okay? And and similarly, you can ask the same question by Mardas, meaning the Gemara did, for a moment, suggest that it would be prohibited to put a saddle cloth on the donkey on Shabbos. Now, we're going to conclude that it's okay, but why is the Gemara even entertaining this discussion? So for that, I turn to Tosfos. Third Tosfos on the Amud, and Tosfos basically dismisses a number of possibilities. And Tosfos ends up by saying it's the last four lines of Tosfos, Ela Nira Lari. It's Tosfos starting with the words Ma'alitain, Ela Nira Lari, De Taima Mishum Tircha De Shabbos. Meaning, and we're going to get more of this later on the Masechta, certain things in Shabbos are prohibited just because the rabbis deemed it to be too much exertion. Meaning the rabbis wanted Shabbos to be a day of calm, peace, and tranquility. And you can keep Shabbos and at the same time run a mile, move furniture up and down your house. Meaning it could be Shabbos, but not Shabbos. You could keep Shabbos, but at the same time kind of lose the whole idea of Shabbos. So here, the reason why we're having a discussion about the feed bag and the saddle cloth, and what basically we're trying to find is what is considered too much exertion on Shabbos. That's how Tosfos understands this whole discussion of why it would be prohibited to put these things on the animal. I should have brought this back when we started the discussion. Anyway, okay, where do we stand right now? Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav's position is, I'm okay with putting the saddle cloth on the animal. I'm okay with putting the feed bag on the animal. Shmuel says, feed bag no, saddle cloth yes. What's the difference? The difference is that the feed bag is just tanug ba'ama. It just serves as a luxury for the animal. You don't need to do it right now. You can take care of it after Shabbos. Saddle cloth, however, is to keep the animal warm. That's sar, that's pain, that you're allowed to take care of. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. We're halfway down on the Amud Kiselag Rabbi Zerashka Chalav Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes the Yosef Yikarmelay Mishmei Rav Yochanan. Okay, now we know what Rav and Shmuel say in Bavel. Now we shift over to Eretz Yisrael, and we look at what the Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael say. And the following was quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan: Nosim Mardas Al Gabe Chamor B'Shabbes. Rav Yochanan says you're allowed to put a saddle cloth on the donkey on Shabbos. Again, let's review: not to walk in the Rishus Rabim. Because as we learned, that you can't do unless it was tied before Shabbos, but simply to stay in your chatzer, to keep your donkey warm, Rav Yochanan says that's fine. So Amar Lei Yiyasher. And what did he receive for saying that? He got a Yesher Koch. Good job. V'chein Tirgam Ha'aryuch B'Bavel. And the king in Bavel said the same thing. Now who's the king in Bavel? Aryuch Manu Shmuel. Now Aryuch is a reference to Shmuel. Is it Rashi over here? I don't think so. No. Yes, it is. It is Rashi over here. Sorry. Shmuel Kari Aryuch Hashem Shaya Baki Bedinim. Now, why is Shmuel referred to as the king? So, as we know, whenever it comes to monetary law, we always follow Shmuel. Right, the shofet kemelech hashofet al haaretz. Now, what that means is that you become a judge, and a judge is analogous to a king. You know, it's interesting. You know, Shmuel, we always refer to him as a judge. I mean, he's a Navi, but we always refer to him as a judge. Shmuel was a king, meaning being the judge means that you're the king. Kadosh Baruch Hu, on Rosh Hashanah, we refer to him as a king, and of course we refer to him as a judge. So Shmuel in Bava was the Baki Bedinim, he was the expert judge. V'shofet kemelech ha'shofet al-aretz, lashon recha melech. And so that's why Shmuel was referred to as the king in Bava. So again, let's go over. Rav Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael said, you're allowed to put a saddlecloth, and they gave him a yesher koach, and they said, and by the way, you know, the king in Bavel, Shmuel, agrees with you. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, Rav Nami Amra? Let's not forget about Rav. Rav also agreed that you're allowed to put a saddlecloth on. Elishama Davim Messiah Bey. The Gemara says, well, you stopped him before he finished his sentence. In other words, and what did Rav Yochanan follow that up with? Ain tol and traskel b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to put a feed bag on an animal on Shabbos. Oh, that goes like Shmuel. Amar le yashav v'chein tirgama aryoch be'bavel. So the Gemara concludes and says, yeah, that's Shmuel's position out in Bavel as well. Rav allows the feed bag, but Shmuel says no, and now we know it's corroborated. Rav Yochanan agrees that you're not allowed to put the feed bag on the animal on Shabbos. Okay, now the kulei amma miyas mardas mutter. So, Maishname Ukaf. Okay, so the Gemara now goes back and let's review a question that we kind of left unanswered earlier on today's daf. Meaning that we all agree now. Rav says it, Rav Yochanan says it, Shmuel says it. We all agree that you could take a saddlecloth and put it on the donkey on Shabbos. How, can't go on to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because it has to be tied before Shabbos. But in other words, it's totally fine. Now, the saddle, as we will learn later on, we'll learn tomorrow's daf, you're not allowed to take the saddle off the animal on Shabbos. So the question that we asked earlier, and now we're asking the question a second time is, well, what's the difference between a saddle and the saddle cloth? How come I can't handle the saddle on Shabbos, but meanwhile the saddle cloth I can pick up, put it on top of the animal, keep the animal warm, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Desha Danafa Mimela. So answer number one of the Gemara is, look, if I don't have to handle something on Shabbos, so don't handle it. The saddle, you could just walk your animal to and fro on Shabbos, the saddle's gonna fall off. Masha Inkein, the saddlecloth, there's no way to get the saddlecloth on the animal other than handling the saddlecloth with your hands. Okay. That's answer number one. Rav Papa Amar, Kan Lechamama, Kan Litzanana. Rav Papa says, well, there's a difference between heating the animal up versus cooling the animal down. Lechamama is Leit Sa'ara, Litzanana is Leit Sa'ara. Look, when it comes to warming the animal up, that's always necessary. The animal's constantly cold, and anything to do to warm the animal up is necessary and there to alleviate the pain of the animal. However, if the animal's hot and you just want to cool it down, and you're taking off the saddle to cool it down, that's not a big deal for the animal. Meaning, the animal kind of would prefer if the saddle stayed on, because it much preferred to be hot than to be cold.
The saddle itself being a burden on it.
So again, this whole discussion is not going into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, meaning the only time burden becomes an issue is when the animal's walking out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because then the animal's violating the Malach HaVotzah. But if the animal's in your courtyard, so then there is no issue of burden. And this is what Rashi was quoting back in the Mishnah. Here the Gemara says it. You can go out in the month of Tammuz. Tammuz, middle of the summer, right? Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, 17th day of Tammuz, fast day, really hot. So, and even then, donkey is cold. So, if it's a question of warming up the saddle, donkey always needs it, warming up the donkey always needs it, donkey always wants it. So, therefore, you're allowed to put a saddlecloth on the donkey at all times. All right, and that pretty much concludes our discussion about the saddlecloth. I know it was a long discussion of the Gemara, started back on the Mishnah, and pretty much ends right over here. Okay, and the conclusion is, everyone's in agreement, you're allowed to put the saddlecloth on the donkey on Shabbos. Again, to go out, to take the donkey out into the public and to walk the donkey out in the public, the saddlecloth needs to be tied on the donkey before Shabbos. Try to explain why that should be. It's an appearance issue. It's a Maris Ayin issue. If I'm putting it on for the first time, doesn't look like it's for the warmth of the donkey. That's what Rashi suggests. Whatever the case is, in order to go out in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it has to be tied on beforehand. But to stay within the confines of your chatzir, and you're doing so to warm up your donkey, mutter. We move on.
Feedback
is a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. It's funny, I was anticipating that question, and I didn't look up the Rambam, nor did I look up the Shulchan Aruch, and I'll tell you why I'm confused, because normally a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, and we go like Rav. However, Rav Yochanan, yeah, you're with me. Rav Yochanan sides with Shmuel and not with Rav. So if it was just Rav and Shmuel, I would say, oh, we'd probably go like Shmuel. But now Rav Yochanan, I'm sorry, we normally would go like Rav. Sorry. But now Rav Yochanan complicates matters. So, in other words, I should have done more of my homework last night. Meisve. The Gemara now quotes a Braisa. Lo yetzei asos bezanav shua. Okay, various things that animal or people cannot go out with into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos, because it would be considered a burden. Not necessary. Okay, so some of these are going to sound strange, I know, but bear with me as I try to get through the Braisa as well. A horse can't go out with a foxtail. Now, your foxtail sounds weird. How about if instead of foxtail I talk about a rabbit's tail? Okay? Don't deny it. All of us at one point in our lives had a rabbit tail. fine, I'll speak for myself. I won't deny it. So the horse would be wearing somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere where the horse would be wearing the foxtail, and it's to ward off the ayin hara. Now, whether or not the Gemara is condoning, condemning, the Gemara is not judging whether it's right or wrong right now. All the Gemara is saying is not on Shabbos. That's a burden. V'lo b'zahari shebein einav. There was some sort of red scarf that was worn between the eyes. Rashi says it was decorative purposes. And apparently, for whatever reason, a horse cannot go out with it on Shabbos. Lo yete azab bekishalo. This is an error we already covered earlier in the Masechta. A man who is azav cannot go out with Shabbos with a kiss. It's a pouch worn around his privates in order to collect the zav that's flowing out. Velo izim bekishe bedadehem. Goats cannot go out with a pouch around their udders. Velo para bechasom shebepia. A cow cannot go out with Shabbos with a some sort of bit in its mouth. Velo sayachim betraskalin. And the young horses, the colts, cannot go out with traskalin, with a feed bag around them. That's the part of the Braisa right now that we really want to zero in on. But I'm going to first finish the Braisa and then we're going to go back. Shebepiyim, l'rishos harabim, velo behema b'sandal. And an animal cannot go out with shoes. Now, animals don't normally need shoes, which is exactly the point. Because animals don't normally need shoes, so therefore, they cannot go out on Shabbos with shoes on their feet. And the animal cannot go out with an amulet. Amulets, by the way, get ready for the sixth perek, because in the sixth perek, we're going to talk about wearing amulets in general, and then specifically wearing amulets on Shabbos. Okay, animals cannot go out with amulets, even if the amulet was authored by an expert. Okay, anyone know an expert amulet maker? Me neither, but they're out there. And even if this amulet was prepared by an expert, the animal cannot go out with it. And this is a chomer that you find by animals that you don't find by humans. And I'll explain that line in just a moment. However, if there's a wound and you want to put a bandage around the wound, that you can do, and the animal can go out with that on Shabbos. Or splint along its leg. Or if the placenta is kind of like hanging out from the animal, that is disgusting. I'll admit it, but that's fine. Upokin lazuk shebitzavara, and if the cow is or the animal is wearing any type of bell, you cannot let the animal go around with the bell clanging on Shabbos. That is the production of noise, and you cannot do that on Shabbos. You got to stuff up the bell. Umetayelas imo bechatzer, and even with the bell being stuffed up, It has to remain in the chatzer. It can't go out on Shabbos even with a stuffed bell. Rashi explains the issue is that once it has a bell around its neck, it looks like you're taking it out to the marketplace. Remember, whenever we go out with the cow with the bell around its neck in the marketplace, we're drawing attention. It's advertisement. I'm selling the cow. So therefore, it looks like I'm going to the marketplace. It's an issue of Marasayin. Okay, that is the end of this Braisa. But there's really one part of the Braisa that we want to zero in on, and that is the Braisa says that if I have a colt, I can't have the colt wear a feed bag into a Rishus HaRabim. Ketani miyas v'lo sayach metraksan shebepim l'Rishus HaRabim. The Rishus HaRabim hudala b'chatzir shapidami. Now, a simple reading of the Braisa says the following. I can't let the colt go out with a feed bag into the Rishus HaRabim, but in the confines of my chatzir, the colt can go, I can put a feed bag around the neck of a colt. So,
can you put the feed bag on the other example?
Well, just one moment. So, my lav b'gedolam mishum tanug. So now, this is a colt, which means that it's a young horse. So now, feeding the colt is not the same as feeding the horse. The Gemara suggests that, well, the Braisa doesn't say. Perhaps we're talking about a colt that's not so young. And the feeding of this animal is just tanug, meaning it could wait. So, lo b'tanum mishum sa'ar. And the Gemara's answer is very simple and very quick. No, we're talking specifically about a colt, a young horse. Feeding this colt is not a pleasure, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. And if I don't feed it every day, it's sar, it's pain, and therefore I have permission to feed this colt on Shabbos. The Gemara goes on and says, it's clear, because another thing mentioned in this braisa is talking about wearing the amulet. Well, you know, well, you don't yet, because we haven't done the sixth perek, but you will know that the wearing of the amulet was for people who were really sick. They went to an expert, the amulet was prepared for them, and so therefore, the amulet is only worn by somebody who really desperately needs it. So too, when we're talking about feeding the colt, we're talking about feeding the colt because the colt desperately needs it. Okay, good. So again, it comes back to the same point. Sa'ar is okay, but tanug, but if it's just for luxury, and it could be avoided, so avoid so on Shabbos. Amar v'lo b'kmei afa pishu ha-mumcha v'hanan tanam v'lo b'kmei she'en ha-mumcha ha-mumcha shapidami. So the Gemara is now quoting from the sixth parak, which we'll get to shortly enough by the end of this week. So the Gemara says that that if the amulet is prepared by an expert, it's okay. So achinam sheinu mumcha. So the Gemara says, well, over here it's not an expert. V'ha'af apishu mumcha ketani. Yeah, but read the Braisa again. The Braisa on the previous Amud said that even if the amulet was authored by an expert, it's still going to be forbidden. So the Gemara says, "Mumcha la'adam ein mumcha la'behemah." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, when our Braisa describes an expert, meaning it is an expert amulet writer, but he's an expert regarding humans, but not regarding animals." Umi'ika mumcha la'adam lo have mumcha la'behemah in adam de isle mazla misayeh le behemah de isle mazla lo misayeh la. Gemara says something fascinating. Amulets work for people. Why do amulets work for people? Because people have mazel. And somehow, and please don't ask me, but somehow the amulet writer knows your mazel, knows how to write an amulet that corresponds specifically to your mazel, and knows how to work the metaphysical forces. And so therefore, it's possible that this person is proficient and an expert amulet writer for people. Animals don't have mazel. And you'll see this idea come up in Bava Kamma as well. And because animals don't have mazel, so therefore, you can be the best amulet writer in the world. But you're simply it's the helfnish. It's not going to help the animal. And consequently, then, there's no such thing as really an amulet that would help an animal. And the conclusion is very simple. Animal cannot go out with the amulet on Shabbos.
Loaded question. We believe in amulets for people?
A loaded answer, yes. Now the exception to this, of course, would be the Rambam. The Rambam, your true rationalist of all rationalists. So he always has issues with all these Gemaras, and so but if, you know, you stick with the, you stick with all the other Rishonim. They're believers, believers in the metaphysical and the amulet and the and the working of the and the mazalos, so forth and so on. So yeah, so my answer is very simple. Barring the Rambam, the answer is yes. And then when you take the Rambam into consideration, okay, then you know there's more to talk about. So the Gemara says, so then when the Braisa made the statement and says, this is a stringency by animals that you don't have by people. So the Gemara says, how did you understand that? So the Gemara says, very simple. Misvars akamea kai, asandal kai. Well, you thought that that statement of the Braisa was going on the Kamea. It's not. Meaning vis-a-vis the Kamea, as we just concluded. No such thing as of an effective kamea for animals. Doesn't exist. So what we're talking about are the shoes. Meaning people can go out with shoes on Shabbos. Animals can't. Because animals normally don't. That's what is a chomer by an animal that does not exist by a human. Good. Tashma. Sachin u'mefarchesin la'adam ein sachin u'mefarchesin la'behema. Okay. Again, we're challenging now is this idea that if something is painful for the animal, it would be okay. But if it's just a pleasure and it's not, and it's a luxury, and the animal doesn't need it, and it can wait till after Shabbos, so it must wait till after Shabbos. Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa says that you can rub oil and scrape away some of the crust of the wound for a human, but you cannot do that for an animal. Now, my love to Ika Makam Mishum Tsa'ar. So the Gemara says, now, are we not talking about where the animal's experiencing terrible pain? And even then, the Braisa says you can't do that. Lo de Gamar Maka Umishum Tanug. The Gemara says, no, there's no pain. The wound is already healed. And I'm just doing so as a way of Tanug, as a way of pleasure for the animal. And that's why it's prohibited for the animal. Because again, it's exertion that I don't need to do, and it can wait till after Shabbos. Tashma behema shachs adam in ma'amidim maso b'mayim b'shoshi titzanein. Adam shachs adam ma'amidim maso b'mayim b'shoshi titzanein. If there's some sort of congested blood, you gave me a term, better describe that.
Blood clot.
Blood clot? All right. I don't know. Okay, this is your area, not mine. So the if the animal is experiencing this type of congested blood, so you can't put the animal in cold water, and somehow the cold water is some sort of medicinal therapeutic way to help the condition. If a human, however, experiences this condition, the human can be put into a cold bath of water. So, and again, Amar Ulek Zer Mishum Aschika Samamanim. So, in explanation of this, why not? Why can't you do this for the animals? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why not. Because that's therapy. And you're not allowed to do any type of medicinal or therapeutic practice on Shabbos. Okay? The Gzera, the general ban of Shechika Samamanim. Now, we have to say that this is not a serious medical condition. Had it been, obviously, all types of medicine is allowed to be used. It's just a way of alleviating some of the pain and discomfort. So Yahachi Adam Nami. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so why are you allowing a human to go into a cold bath of water? Adam Nira Kameker, because well, by the human you could simply argue and say, look, that's not therapy, he's just cooling down, meaning he's really hot and he's just cooling himself down. Yahachi Behema Nami Nira Kameker in Maker Lebehema. So the Gemara says, look, this argument isn't really true for the animal. Meaning for the animal normally doesn't cool himself down in water. People do if it's really hot outside. And so therefore, this argument of, look, this is a normal, this could be viewed as just normal behavior for humans. That's why the human is allowed to do so. Now the Gemara wonders out loud. We make rabbinical decrees for on behalf of animals, but we learned that if, let's say, the animal is outside of Tchum, so you can call the animal back and the animal will walk on its own, and we're not worried that you're going to go out beyond your own Tchum in order to drag the animal back in. The Amar Ravina, so Kegon Shayat Chum Shalak Muvla Betoch Chum Shalak. Well, Ravina says, well, don't worry about that case. That case is different. Even if you were to go and get that animal, you wouldn't be violating your tchum, meaning you and your animal are in two different tchums. Now, that's fascinating. In other words, any property that you own, when we get to Erevin, we're going to discuss this at length, any one of your properties is circumscribed within the same tchum that you're in. So if you're within any given tchum, your property is within that tchum as well. So how in the world can your animal be in a different tchum as you? So Rashi points out, because before Shabbos, what you did is you handed over your animal to a shepherd. Once you hand your animal over to a shepherd, now the animal does not follow your tchum. Your animal follows the shepherd's tchum. It's, even though it's you're the owner, the shepherd is the one who is responsible. And so consequently, it's the animal is within the shepherd's tchum. So now you see an animal that's outside of his tchum, but not outside of your tchum, so you can go and call the animal to come back. And even if you were to go get the animal, it would not be a violation of your own tchum. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Schika Samamanim Gufa Tanaihi Detanya, whether or not you're allowed to do any type of medicinal practice for animals is subject to a machlokas Tanaim Detanya Behema Sha'achla Karshinim Lo Yiritzena Bechatze Beshosh Tethrape. You can't have the animal run around. In other words, animal ate Karshinim and the animal is totally stuffed up, bloated. And what you'd like to try to do is try to get the animal to move. Move and then move. Okay? So lo yiritzena bechatze b'shusha tisrape. So the Tanakhama says you cannot run the animal around even within the confines of your own chatzer if you're doing so for the therapeutic purpose of getting the animal to move, to loosen his stool. And Rabbi Oshia matir. And Rabbi Oshia says no, that's fine. So you see that there is a debate amongst the Tanaim already whether or not you're allowed to do any type of therapeutic practice for the animals. Darash Rava halacha k'Rabbi Oshia, and on this the Gemara's conclusion is very clear and very very definitive. The halacha is like Rav Oshia, and therapeutic practices for the animals is mutter on Shabbos. I don't know if the Gemara is speaking generically or specifically like the examples that we talked about, i.e., running the animal around in order to loosen its stool, or putting the animal into cold water in order to get its blood to start moving, right? Things of that nature. But, like we discussed earlier, putting a kameh around its neck where it's not going to be effective at all, that would be prohibited, right? Or any type of luxury item. Okay, we'll stop over here. Conclusion for today so far is luxury item for an animal is considered tircha yisera, it's considered extra exertion, and that would be prohibited on Shabbos. Sa'ar, alleviating the pain of the animal, putting the saddlecloth on the animal. According to some, putting a feed bag around the neck of the animal. According to some. That's not the conclusion. Helping the animal loosen its stool. Anything that will help alleviate the pain of the animal, generally speaking, is okay on Shabbos, acceptable on Shabbos. Okay. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, learning that we do this morning is for a refuah shlema of Binyamin Zeva Cohen ben Sharon Rivka. And we'll continue from the two dots tomorrow.